come and to preach the word. I don't class myself as a preacher, but I thank God he's given me a concern just for the souls of men and women. And you see, when you have that concern, it'll just come anyway. It's something that you can't work up. And my concern tonight is for your soul, dear friend, where you will spend eternity. I'd like to say a wee word of thanks. I mean, my workmates listening in too. Again tonight, appreciate you taking the time. And I pray the Lord will bless you also this evening as you listen in over the airwaves, even tonight. I want you to turn to the book in the Old Testament, book of Job, chapter 14. Reading verses 1 to 10. Singing a Collins saying there about him and Morris in the airplane, conducting the people up the aisle. You'd have some boy getting around Collins, wouldn't you? The breath and the height of him. Huh? You'd have to go the opposite door, I doubt. But nonetheless, we'll get to the word nonetheless. 7:30, 8 o'clock. That's the sight. Verse 1 of chapter 14 of the wee book of Job. If you turn over there to the book of Psalms, you're not familiar with your Bible, go back one, you'll be a Job. You get Psalms, you just split your Bible in half, you'll be in the book of Psalms. And then shoot back one, you'll be in the right place. So I say that for a reason, because I'm saved now by 38 years. And when I got saved, I wanted to hear her father preaching, or her grandfather preaching. Big influence in my life. And I certainly do miss him, even from being among us. And I mind going to hear him, and he used to give out the place where we're going to get the passage from. And I could never find it. I wouldn't have knew what the Gospels were, never mind anything else. And by the time I had it found, he had finished. So, and then I didn't get reading it myself. So I always kind of give you time to find the place, for this is a very important verse tonight I want to leave with you. Verse 1 of chapter 14, the wee book of Job. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds, that he cannot pass. Turn from him, that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the sand of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. Here's the verse. But man dieth, and wasteth away. Your man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? But man dieth. One day we're going to die. Every time I come to church or any pulpit to preach, I often think to myself, is that the last time I'll ever preach? Mightn't be about next week to do any more. Because one day I'm going to die. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where? Where is he? Let's just bow a wee word of prayer together this evening. Our Lord and our God, we thank thee for the young people at the front here tonight who led in the singing of these beautiful, beautiful hymns. And Father, we were standing there in the pew, biting our tongue, biting our lip, Dan just to join in with them in praise and in worship when we think of the power of the cross. And we thank thee for the blessing that they've been to us tonight and for the thrill that they've brought to our very souls. We thank you for our sister Victoria, who has brought such a wonderful message and song on these three occasions. And we thank thee for this final piece, which certainly would dovetail concerning the reality of eternity and where that dear lost soul would spend it if they die outside of Christ. We pray, Lord, for thine enabling grace to help just now in the preaching of the word. You know, Lord, I'm nervous. You know, Lord, I'm lacking in ability. You know, Lord, I'm in need of thee. You know, Lord, all my need. I pray tonight that you'd be pleased to take this clay vessel and that you might anoint it with thy power. That you would be pleased not only to speak to me, but to speak through me tonight. That for some dear lost soul sitting in thy presence this evening, they might know what it is to hear beyond the voice of any mere man, but that the Spirit of God himself might apply the truth to the heart. Save souls in Lurgan Baptist tonight, we pray. Bring true conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Lord, may we, as well as the angels in heaven, have cause for rejoicing over sinners been born again of the Spirit of God. For Father, we ask it all in the beautiful name of our Savior tonight. And everybody say it. Amen. Man that is born, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? I've been thinking about this today and over recent days. Just a message to bring to the people this evening. And I often remember myself some 38 years ago. I mind the night I went to the mission. And a young man had an interest in my soul and invited me along, and I certainly had no desire to get saved. I just went really to please him. And in doing so, as I sat, just like you're sitting tonight here in Lurgan Baptist, something happened in the pew. As the preacher preached the Word of God that night, he came across one verse of Scripture, and what the Spirit of God did was this. He simply spoke to my heart through that verse. He brought me under conviction of sin where I sat in that pew. And to tell you the truth, it was as I was the only person in the meeting that night. It was just myself and the Lord. And though I was brought under conviction, I mind that night going into the inquiry room, and I didn't know the gospel at all. I just knew that night that I was a sinner needing to be saved. But personally speaking, I thought I was a sinner needing to be saved because of the life that I lived, because of the things that I'd done. And the man going into the inquiry room that night, and the preacher sat me down and we had a discussion and a talk about the plan and the way of salvation. What I come to know that night was simply this, that I was what I was because of the way I was born. The root problem was sin in my heart and within my life. It wasn't the fruit problem needed to be dealt with. It was the root problem. Because when the root problem's dealt with, the fruit problem will deal with itself. For by them ye shall know them by their fruits, as the verse goes on to say. But as I went in that night, I wasn't too sure about a lot of things. So I went in and I talked with the pastor, and thank the Lord I came out that night born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. He came a new creature. And I just want to simply teach you some things tonight. Some things that I didn't know then. I knew that I needed to be saved. But just the influence of that conversation that I had with the preacher that night, he certainly led me to the cross. And I want you to listen carefully to what we've got to say tonight. There's three things that I want to notice here in this verse of Scripture that we have read together, but man dieth. That wee phrase, but man dieth. Now listen. There are three things I want to look at this evening, maybe a fourth thing, which is maybe more important than them all. And I want to look at the message tonight just simply in three questions. And the three questions is this. Number one, why? Why is man dying? Number two, when will be the day of our death? And number three, where do we go after we leave this scene of time? Number one, why? Why is it that all men have to die? I'm speaking to you in this room tonight, and there's not one of us in 100 years' time will be here. Your seat will be empty. We'd have been gone the way of all the earth. But you and I have got to find the answer to the question, why is it that all men have to die? What's the issue? What's the problem? How did this come about? Well, turn with me to your Bibles, to the second book of the book of Genesis there, and we'll have a wee look at it just for a few moments till we see it unfolding here before us. Genesis chapter 2. And we're just basically going through the ABCs of the gospel. And I think it's always good to get down to the ground roots and just to see what the Bible says. You see here in chapter 2, and I'm going to look at verse 7 to begin with, and it talks about the formation of man. Okay. And Genesis 1 and 2 gives us a description of how everything came into being. But verse 7 of chapter 2 says these words, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Now, I would never question that. That's what the Word of God teaches. You didn't evolve. Adam and Eve were never born. They were made by God. The Bible says here in verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God planted a garden in the eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now verse 15, And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree which of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof," listen to it, "thou shalt surely die." That was the command that God had given to Moses, or to Adam. Adam, you can have all the fruit of whatever tree you want in the garden, but there is one tree, and I'm asking you not to do this. Thou shalt not eat of it, for if you do, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It's plain and simple, isn't it? Adam, don't do it. You'll live for eternity. You see, when God made Adam, he made him perfect. Human being. And then he made him his wife. And he took a rib from the side of Adam because it's a good thing to have a wife. Sometimes they give you a sore ear sometimes, but it's a good thing to have them. Yeah. And we can see here that the Lord intervened even in this verse 18 of chapter 2. "And the Lord God said, it is not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. I will make a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Now listen to this here. Now, take a look at verse 21 of the same chapter. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So we have the two brought together. Adam and Eve. They've been both now placed in the garden. And as they're placed in the garden, Adam's aware of the command of God. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that's ringing in his ears. Now when you go into chapter 3, you'll discover that we're introduced to the serpent. Verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, now this serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman saith unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. It's been added to. God never said about touching it. He said about eating it. And here we have Satan now with the woman at the garden, at the very tree which they were forbidden to eat. And Satan's tempting her. And you'll see what he says to her in verse 4. For he attacks the word of God. He attacks the truth of the Bible. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God said, ye will surely die. The devil said, ye will not die. It's fascinating, isn't it? See verse 5. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And as the woman communed with Satan in the form of the serpent, I want to tell you something. Listen, that which was spoken to by the woman, watch what happens in verse 6. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And right away the command was broken. When God put him into the garden and God showed him everything that he could take and freely eat of, but there was that one tree there that he wasn't allowed to eat. He was warned, Adam, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And listen, every day up until now, up until this point in history, listen, Adam and Eve knew what it was to have fellowship with God in the garden. The Lord used to come down in the cool of the day every day, and he used to commune with them and have fellowship with them. And that fellowship was sweet between the Creator and the created. But do you see that day when Adam reached out and he took from his wife that fruit that was forbidden to eat? Now, I don't know what it was. Some people say it was an apple, it could have been a pear, it could have been anything. I don't know what it was, not weed either. The matter of the fact was the disobedience. And immediately when Adam took of that forbidden fruit and ate it, listen, the communion with God and man was now broken. And sin had entered into the heart and the life of this man. And we can see the reaction of the man in the fact. Let's read it here. Take a look at verse 3 again. It says here, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. And then so on. Take a look at verse 7. What happened? Well, after they had disobeyed the Lord, it says, well, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They'd never done that before. There's something happened in their lives. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This was an ongoing thing. Might have had communion with God every day up until this point. But on this occasion, what did they do? Listen, But what did they do? Well, the Bible says that they ran and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Verse 8 again. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And God came down into the garden, and God speaks to them here in verse 9. And the Lord called, and the Lord God called unto Adam. Unto Adam, listen, he was the one that he had commanded. And he says to Adam, the first question is ever asked in the Bible, Adam, where art thou? Never had to ask that question before. He was always there ready and waiting for him coming. Looking forward to communion with the Lord God of glory. But because of what had happened there in the garden and because of that act of disobedience, listen. The Creator and the created were now separate one from the other. Sin had entered into his heart and into his life. And the outcome is this, that Adam and Eve were driven from the garden, never to be allowed to return again. Now, how does this affect you and me? Because this is how death come about. You see, I was just reading this just this evening before it came out. You see, chapter 3, verse 19. You see what it says here? You see what the Lord says to Adam as he sends him forth? He says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto what? Till thou return unto the ground, from out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So what he's saying to Adam is this here, Adam, one day you're going to die. You're going to die, why? Because of sin. And that's the reason why we all must die. We're all sinners. And we all must die because of that very fact. How did it affect us? Well, there's a wee verse of scripture over in the book of Romans chapter 5, and this is what it says. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that man? That man was Adam. And death by sin. Now watch it. And so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. Through that one man's act of disobedience, you and I in this meeting tonight are born sinners. We've been born separated from God with our faces towards hell and our backs towards God. And we are only one heartbeat away from a Christless eternity. You know, as I sat in the chair over there tonight, I had palpitations. I do take that now and again. I think it's the nerves. But listen, one day this old heart's going to stop beating. And that brings me to my second question. Not only as we ask the first question, why is it that we're all sinners? Why is it that we are all going to die? It's because we're all sinners. All right? Second question is when? When will the day of our death come? Well, you and I must once again turn to the Word of God, and I just want to quote the verses to you tonight in order to find the answer. And I must be truthful with you, I don't know when I'm going to die. I'm sure I'm going to die. But I don't know when I'm going to die. Because that appointment doesn't lie with me. Now, it doesn't lie with the doctor in the hospital. It lies alone with God. The Bible says in the wee book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, it says these words, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. I don't know about you, but have you ever sat beside anybody who's just passed by? It is a wonderful experience to be there with a loved one as they go out into God's eternity. You see, I had the privilege personally of sitting beside three people. Three individuals who I deeply loved. One of them was our son. So we watched him die. The other one was my father. As I watched him die. And the third one was my mother. And on all three occasions, it was appointed unto man once to die. I couldn't change it. The doctors and physicians couldn't change it. It was an appointment that had to be kept in heaven. And you know, I was thinking about that. Turn over to Job chapter 1 here, just so you see this. If anybody knew about death, it was Job, because this is absolutely fascinating. You see, it's the Lord who holds that appointment, and old Job was brought to this truth. Take a look at verse 13, and you can just imagine and getting yourself into Job's shoes here of all that he was going through. You know, Satan and the Lord were having a conversation beforehand, and verse 13, we have the outcome of it, and it says there was a day when his sons, that's, and his daughters, that is Job's, his children, okay. And they were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, listen, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Okay? Now watch the next verse. You can just get the feeling. While he was yet speaking, there came in also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Okay? Verse 17. While he yet spake, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. What news this man was hearing continuously. Verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, listen, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You can just imagine what Job was listening to. He had lost everything. And you can see his attitude here in coming to the knowledge of all this. What is Job? How does he react? Well, verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I tell you something to be able to say that, isn't it? When you think of all that he had lost, what Job was acknowledging is this here. It's the Lord that gives, and it's the Lord that takes away, and it's his own appointed privilege to do as is pleasing in his sight. It is appointed unto man once to die. Therefore, dear friend, there's a lovely verse in Proverbs 27, verse 1, that says these words, we're not allowed to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. I said at the beginning of this meeting this evening, listen, as I get into any pulpit any Sunday, I always do so thinking it's the last time. Why? Because the day of my appointment may just come this week. And I might have to go the way of all the earth. But when the Lord calls, we'll have to go. We're going to die because of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. and you're only a heartbeat away from a Christless eternity. And that heartbeat away is under the control of Almighty God, who has set the day of your appointed time. I want to ask you a question tonight in the meeting. If God was to take you out tonight, would you go out ready? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Have you been saved by God's grace and washed in His blood? I want to tell you something, dear friend. Listen, you're a sinner tonight and one day, but you're going to die because of that sin. For the wages of sin is death. I don't know when you're going to die, but you mightn't see next Sunday. Dear friend, you needn't play about with your soul. Talked about my father there. Went down to visit my father in the morning he died. We both sat down in the bed and we were talking. He was a bit of pain in the stomach. And as we were talking, he hadn't a clue. You know what he said to me? He said, "Son, do you know what happened? I think he ate a bit of fish last night, it's sick in the stomach." That's what he said. And as we're sitting talking, just sitting on the bedside with the basin there, because he had been sick, as we're just sitting side to side, you know something? He just dropped back in the bed just like that. He never said, "Son, I'm going to die." He never put his arm around me to give me a hug. I was sitting there beside him. It's the last thing I expected. I want to tell you something. Before his head hit the pillow, his soul was out into God's eternity. And that's how quick it can be. And dear friend, it might be you. Or it might be me. But the one thing you can be sure of is this. It's coming very soon. I often look at my life. If I was to live to 80 years, which is my allotted time, anywhere above that's a bonus. But if I was to live to 80 years, I have only another 9 years to live. That's it. And when you bring that into months, it's very short. I have already lived the most of my life. And everything else would be a bonus. But I thank God tonight I'm ready. Because of that day when I recognized I was a sinner. And I'm going to die because of sin. But listen, brings me to the final question. It's 8 o'clock. Where do we go after death? What happens to us when we come to die? You see, this brought me great hope at the death of our son. It brought me great hope at the death of my father. It brought me great hope at the death of my mother. I mind turning to the scriptures at that particular occasion when my son died. Do you know where I turned to? I turned to that passage of scripture where David lost his young boy. You know what David said? "He will not come to me, but one day I'll go to him." And it brings heaven very much closer. And I'm looking forward to going home to see the Lord. So that's the reason I'm going. But I want to tell you this, I'm looking forward to seeing my son. And I'm looking forward to be reunited with old Dad, who just made it by the skin of his teeth 6 months prior to the day that he died. And I'm looking forward to seeing my old mother. And that, the Word of God brings hope. To know that when we come to die, what it is to be reunited again with our loved ones. I want to ask you a question this evening. If you were to die this evening, would you be in glory? Where would your soul be in God's eternity? Let me finish by bringing you a couple of wee thoughts here. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Luke chapter 16. And this is a very, very frightening passage of the Word of God. Chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke. What does it say? It talks here in chapter 16 about two men. One of them was rich and the other was poor. One had everything and the other had nothing. But I want to tell you about these two men. These two men heard the message of the gospel. These two men knew that they needed to repent, for except they repented, they would likewise perish. But do you see the beggar who had nothing? He heard the message of salvation. He heard the message of repentance. And do you know what he did? He repented of his sin. He received the Lord into his life as a Savior. And he got prepared to meet the Lord. You may say, how do you know that? Because he went to heaven. But do you see the other boy who had everything? Well, he had heard the same message of repentance. You say, how do you know that? Well, I know it because what the Bible states here. Take a wee look at it here in verse 19. Do you see it there? And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was led at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried, listen to it, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and he was buried. Now listen. He buried the body. This is horrible. They buried the body, the remains of this dear rich man. Listen, but what does it say in the next verse? What does it say in verse 23? And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. I want to tell you something. One went to paradise, and the other went to hell. Simply because one came to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the other one refused. Which one will you be tonight? Will you be that one that will accept Christ, repent of your sin, and come as a sinner to Jesus, and leave this meeting with the assurance of God's salvation in your heart? Or will you go out that door into the darkness of the night with the possibility you might not see tomorrow day, tomorrow morning, break daylight, and you could be lost in hell forever? This man gave us a message from hell. And the message that he gave from hell was this. Here was a man who was lost. And he's lost for all eternity. And there's absolutely no hope whatsoever for him. And listen, I could never imagine what it must be like. But from the depths of the caverns of the damned, what did he cry? He said in verse 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Why? For of five brothers. Now what was his desire? He said, I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. Why? Lest they come into this place of torment. I want to tell you something. Hell's a reality. It's a real place. It's a place prepared by God himself. And thank God it's a place that's not prepared for you, but it's prepared for the devil and his angels. But I want to tell you this, in order for you to miss the caverns of the damned and be lost in hell forevermore, do you know what God the Father done? The Bible tells us, for God so loved you and me, he so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, the very darling of his bosom, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to tell you something. At the cross there, outside of Jerusalem's wall, there's a way made back from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. But it's at Calvary's cross is where we begin. When? When we come as a sinner to Jesus. You've got to come. And you've got to come now. Because you're a sinner. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you're only a heartbeat away from a Christless eternity. And the Bible warns us that we're not allowed to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we don't know what tomorrow will hold. And dear friend, listen, he asks us now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now, now, now is the day of salvation. You going to miss it? You going to miss it? You see, when you go to the cross, you'll find at the cross the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. You know what it says there? It says that the Lord was numbered with the transgressors. Now it's Isaiah chapter 53. When our Lord Jesus was crucified alongside two malefactors, there was one on the right hand, there was one on the left. Jesus Christ was on the sandal tree as our substitute for sin. One railed on him. But the other one came to a point where he recognized who he really was and what he had really done. He said these words. He says, Lord, Lord, if you remember me, you come into your kingdom. The Lord Jesus just looked at him. In the midst of all the pain and anguish and mess, I see him looking at him. He says, do you see, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was saved in his final moments. And one of those malefactors went to be with the Lord. And the other one was lost. One's in glory tonight. The other's in hell. What will you do with the Lord Jesus here tonight in Lurgan Baptist? For what you do with him, he'll do with you. To as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Dear friend, that's your decision. You're going to die because you're a sinner. When will you die? I don't know. It's appointed between you and God. Where will you go after you die? Well, that determines what you've done with the Lord Jesus. I pray tonight that if the Lord speak into your heart, hasn't been much of a gospel message, has it, humanly speaking? But I'll tell you this, when the Spirit of God applies a verse to the heart, it becomes effective. And if God's speaking to you tonight, don't leave the meeting. If we can be any help to you at all, you come and talk to us. But don't you walk out that door without the Lord. Because tonight may be your final opportunity. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for your word. We recognize that all of us have sinned because of that act of Adam in the Garden of Eden. We've come short of the glory of God. And Father, we're in danger of being lost for all eternity. And because of that act of sin, and because that sin has entered into us all, Lord, we know we're all going to die. One day, sooner or later. We know when that appointed day comes, we'll have to go the way of all the earth. But Lord, we need to know where we're going. And we thank you, Lord, that we can know where we're going. We thank you, Lord, that the dying thief knew where he was going. Ere he closed his eyes in death. After they broke his legs. We thank you, Lord, that David knew where he was going. He could say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank you, Lord, where Stephen knew where he was going. He could say, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thank you, Lord, that Paul knew where he was going. He was ready to be offered up. And Father, I pray that men and women and young people tonight may be sure where they're going. And to know that it'll be absent from the body. To be present with the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for becoming our substitute and our dying in our room instead. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the ultimate price. For we know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver nor gold, but with thine own precious blood. Give the saving grace in the meeting tonight again. And we'll always be careful to give to thee all the praise and every bit of the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody say, Amen. Folks, as I've said, if God's spoken to your heart, you'd like to talk to us, don't you leave the meeting. I just was like you 38 years ago. I knew I needed to be saved, and I just needed to talk to somebody, and he was a great help. I can't save you, but we can point you to the Lord, and he's the one that will do the saving. And if you would like to have a wee word with us this evening, feel free to do that. You know, we expect that, don't you? You're looking at me. I was expecting it at all. Yeah, we expect that. To see God move in the midst of a meeting like this. And if God can do it, well, may God give you the grace to come. Thank you very much. Amen.